Yes, lovely sound there of Mark Knopfler and Emmy Lou Harris. I'm now going over to the interview with Valerie Cochran from Mediation Northside, and we're very lucky actually to have a service like this in our community. Joining us on the programme this morning is Valerie Cochran from the Northside Mediation Service. Good morning, Valerie.
Good morning.
Right, Valerie, I'm going to ask you about the work of the Northside Mediation Service, but what many people may not know is that anybody now going to court on domestic issues and things like that, a bill came in last year, 2010, called the Mediation and Conciliation Bill, and under that bill, anybody considering going to court has to at first seek mediation from people such as yourselves.
That's right.
So, first of all, tell us about the Northside Mediation Service. How long has it been in existence?
Okay, so Mediation Northside was developed in 2004 from Northside Community Law Centre. Since then, it has, I suppose, developed into a wider range of areas in relation to not just do we look after now parental mediation, we're also looking after neighbourhood disputes, grandparent visitation mediation. So there's a numerous of mediations that we look after now because of the bill as well, because the first point is to go to mediation.
Yeah, and this split from the law centre, is this because mediation is now a totally different tool, so to speak? And it has its own area of expertise.
Well, we went standalone at Christmas time because of the service has developed so much lately. But also, mediation also had to develop its own mission statement, its own vision statement. So we're now looking for funding to actually develop the service even more within the community.
Okay, let's start off with some of the things that you offer. Would you get a lot of marital disputes?
We do. We get an awful lot of marital disputes, but Family Mediation Service within Ireland looks after that area. The disputes that we look after is the first point of dispute, which is parental mediation.
Right.
So we look after the areas of access, maintenance, custody, abduction, and you know, just a parenting plan around children. That's the part that we look after in the mediation process. But also, we do introduce budget planning as well to help the finances, especially with the economic climate at the moment, because people are having to live together even though they're separated.
Right.
They still have to live on the same roof. So that's kind of the area that we concentrate on.
Right. So, I mean, it's a holistic mission, so to speak. You take the couple and you look at the various elements that could cause conflict and you try and resolve each one.
Well, what we do is when a particular person comes into us and they're looking to seek mediation, we do an interviewing process. Through the interviewing process, we do a screening, and we will do that with both parties that want to engage within the mediation process. Now, it is voluntary, you know, so people don't have to come on board if they don't choose to.
Right.
But it's an option for them before they go to court. And then through that, well, then we work out their options of what's available to them. So the most important options are normally around the parenting plans of access and maintenance, and then we work on the budget plans of how the household is going to survive with two people living together, but separately.
Right. You mentioned abduction there. Is that something that features largely in the cases that you've come across?
No, not hugely. No, it's just another part of the service that we offer in relation to children.
Another part of the service. Right, we'll move from marital disputes. Grandparents' access, I think that's very important.
Grandparent visitation mediation, yes.
Yeah.
I introduced that 2 years ago because an awful lot of grandparents were coming to us looking to have some kind of communication with their either son or daughter's ex-partners in relation to building their own relationship with their grandchildren without the parents being involved.
Right.
And it's been very successful because, you know, everybody needs a grandparent in their life. You know, everybody needs a nanny, or a granddad, you know. So it actually has been really good. And we've got a good few cases that have come on board and very successful cases too. But also we've noticed through the grandparent visitation mediation that the parents built up their relationships as well because the grandparent intervened and wanting to build relationships with the grandchildren.
Right. Do you work through another body as regards that visitation? Because I know that there's a lack of places, I think, where people can have contact independently outside of the family home, if you know what I mean. They need a neutral venue.
Yes.
Do you look after that end of it as well?
We do. Well, most of our cases take place here within the civic offices. But if it needs be that they don't want to be within the civic offices, we do a neutral venue outside. And normally what happens is that the first, I'll just give an example, normally it's McDonald's. Right. They like to meet their first meeting that, you know, which is, it's lovely, I have to say. And then the children get an opportunity then to meet grandparents, but with one parent there, so they can build up a relationship, because an awful lot of children mightn't have met their grandparents or haven't seen them over numerous years because of the parents being in dispute.
Right. Okay. So that's sort of, it seems to be very child-centred, this whole mediation process thing.
Yes. The future of the children.
The future of the children. Yeah. That's the most important thing. Also, you're talking about neighbourhood disputes or disputes between neighbours. What are sort of the common things? Is it noise? Is it transgression on property or what?
Yes, it's either one of them, and, you know, being a nuisance and damage to property. It can be any areas, like, you know, dogs barking, car parking, loud music at night time. And at the moment, it seems to escalate even more, because with the economic climate at the moment, an awful lot of people are out of work. So the neighbours are at home more now than what they used to be, and the children are out playing and people are noticing things more. So, it's, you know, disputes are rising within neighbourhoods at the moment.
Okay. And regarding sort of disputes between neighbours, do most of the cases come to you first, or do you often get referrals from the Gardaí?
Well, that's both. So sometimes we get self-referrals and then we get referrals from the Gardaí. We also get court referrals, or we'd have different referrals from either local agencies.
Okay, and why would a court refer a case to you? Is it because the couple or
if
the
there's
two
an
parties,
ongoing dispute?
If there's an ongoing dispute and they haven't managed to resolve it.
Exactly. Yeah. And the judge would send it to mediation to give it an opportunity to resolve it and build relationships before he makes a judgment on it, basically.
Yeah. And is there a cost factor as well? I mean, it's much cheaper to go through mediation.
Our mediation service is free. Yeah,
oh, is it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It is free, but we do not have any funding. What we do is we raise funds throughout the year with different fundraising events to keep the service provided to the community.
Yeah. I see you also do wills and succession rights. Succession rights, are they a problem in the 21st century?
Not that they're a problem. And to be honest with you, in the mediation, sometimes it's introduced and then sometimes it's not. It doesn't seem to be a big thing within mediation.
Right.
They normally do go to their solicitor to get that kind of information. But that there is talk around it, you know, just to make sure that there is a communication. There's no communication breakdown of what people's rights are and what people aren't. But we do send them off to get that kind of information. So they do have a bit of homework to do when they're in mediation to come back to us to make a decision on things like that if they want to within the mediation room.
Right. But you don't advise, you just say...
We don't advise whatsoever. We actually just work through the options that they've actually brought into the room.
Right. Oh, okay. I know it's hard to say, but how long would the average case take to process from first referral, you know...
No, I can give you an answer to that because I have stats on that area. So in the areas of parental mediation, grandparent visitation mediation, sibling mediation and elder mediation, these would be the four areas of all the family.
Right.
They would have up to 6 sessions of 2 hours.
Right.
Now that could take over a period of, we normally recommend that's every 2 weeks or once a month, because it's quite in a roller coaster ride and it's very emotional for people as well.
Yeah.
So, normally, as I say, it would be about 6 months they're with us. And then when they've drawn up an agreement, we work with the agreement for them for up to 3 months, you know, to make it a workable agreement. And in the meantime, they're contacted to see if they need to come back to tweak that agreement if something's not working for them. And then what we do is we recommend then they should go off and get the document legalised in some area, rather whether it be the courts or through a solicitor.
Okay.
Now, not everybody does. Some people, it's a workable agreement, so they're happy because the amount of hard work they've put into it and the emotional rollercoaster ride they've gone through, well, then fine, they're inclined to just work with it. Not everybody gets it legalised.
Yeah. You mentioned cases there between siblings. Would that be over wills, or could it be something entirely different?
It could be in relation to wills. It can be in relation to just a breakdown or one parent passing away. Any direction when it comes to siblings. It's normally a very... deep dispute from something many years ago,
right? Yeah,
that has surfaced,
yeah,
because of something happening within the family.
Yeah, I can imagine the kind of thing, as you say, happened donkeys years ago, and you were always mother's favourite or dad's favourite, and
that can be.
I suppose at a time of grief, it exacerbates the problem.
Yes.
The problem. I can tell that, you know, when you're speaking, you really get great enjoyment, great job satisfaction out of what you're doing.
Yes, I do.
You do. How long does it take to become a counsellor, a mediator?
A mediator. Okay, so there's a few different ways to become a mediator, but the main thing is that there's a lot of courses out there. You can just Google and they will come up. Our own course from Mediation Northside that we hold 2 to 3 times a year, it's a 60-hour course and it's done over 2 weekends. And from that 60-hour course, then you have a video assessment, which is the Mediation Institute of Ireland assessment, because there is a standing body called the MII. And then from there, the uniqueness about our course is that the people to have come on board, the participants, they then come on to Mediation Northside as a volunteer, and we get them introduced to observing cases and doing continuous training with the service, and then also working as a co-mediation model, as Mediation Northside does. There's always two people mediating, so they will be with a more experienced mediator while they're the trainer, and then so on. That's how it works for us.
Right. And what would you say are the main attributes of a would-be mediator or counsellor?
The main attributes.
Would you say patience?
Well, I would say fantastic listening skills.
Right, okay.
A lot of empathy.
Yes.
And just very much the whole, everything, body language, you know, a soft approach, you know, because disputes escalate, so you kind of need to bring them down, de-escalate them. Right. So I think, an awful lot of empathy and a very soft approach is how the mediators...
Right.
To have their tools to work with.
Yeah.
Plus the listening ears.
Okay. Over the years, Valerie, have you ever had a case that sent you home at night, pulling your hair out, wondering if you'd ever get it solved?
Have I ever done that? I actually say I wouldn't. I would think about it, and I would think maybe what better options are there for them, for me to introduce to them.
Right.
But I've never had an area where it's been such... A case where there was no hope whatsoever, because since I've been in the service since 2005 myself, when I came on board, I've actually seen the tremendous work that mediation does do within people and the building of relationships between them. So eventually we do actually work with them, because there is another side to Mediation Northside that if the mediation doesn't work, we introduce them into conflict coaching. So that's a one-on-one.
Right.
So it retrains the brain how to deal with conflict.
Okay, so conflict resolution is totally different from mediation.
Conflict coaching is very different to mediation in an extent, because it deals with the person one-on-one to see what their goals are, to see what their trigger buttons are, to try and change them, to try and move things forward, to be able to manage the conflict that they're in.
Right.
So that's another part of the service that we offer as well. And everybody that comes through the service gets offered conflict coaching. And out of the clients, I'd say about 90% of the people take it on board, which helps them through the mediation process. And especially if the mediation process doesn't work for them, then they have the conflict coaching to turn to be able to manage it themselves for the future.
Okay. I'm trying to get my head around sort of the difference. I suppose conflict coaching is if there's an issue over which you can't see them, you know, sort of getting over on their own, that it needs to be a side issue, so to speak.
Yes.
Yeah.
There could be other persons. See, when people are coming in for mediation, it doesn't necessarily mean that the dispute they're having with the person is the only dispute they're having. There could be other areas,
right,
like workplace, family getting involved, third parties, you know, putting their input into their own relationship. And they're trying to manage this and manage the children and manage everything. So conflict coaching actually helps them just one-to-one how to manage it all and park different issues and different areas so that they can move forward from one at a time.
Right, okay. Listen, Barry, how many days a week are you open?
We're open Monday to Friday.
Yes.
9:30 until 5 o'clock. But we have been known to do a few Saturdays.
Yeah.
But we won't advertise that.
We won't advertise that. So that's Monday, 9:30 to 5.
Yes.
Monday to Friday, 9:30 to 5. And telephone number?
It's 848-2988. And can I just mention, Ronnie, we also have over 80 volunteers that work within the service that volunteer their time as mediators to keep the service running.
Right.
And we have an admin team of up to 4 to 5 staff. So it actually is fairly busy.
Yeah, I wouldn't have imagined, you know, sort of 80 volunteers, but presumably, are you sort of booked up, you know, Monday to Friday?
Yes.
For the foreseeable future?
We're kind of back to back. We look after most of Dublin, so there's other mediation services out there. There's one in Ballybun, there's one in Tala, but some people have catchment areas. We don't have a catchment area at present.
Right.
We've been just looking after the most of Dublin.
Okay, and are you on the web or
We're not at present. We're on the Northside Community Law Centre web at the moment, but our own web is actually being developed and we should have it up and running within the next 2 weeks.
Right, and could you just give me that phone number once more, Valerie?
It's Mediation Northside, 01-848-2988.
Okay, look, Valerie, many thanks for your time. It's a great service. It's great to actually have it in this building in the Northside Civic Centre and in the locality.